Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the 80s Sports Show, where sports, faith, and life come together. Don't have any theme music for you today. Just going to go with it as we got it. And glad you're able to listen. It's been a while since I've been able to come on air. Been swamped up to my head with doctoral studies concerning the next generation. And hopefully I can pull some of what I'm learning and put it into this show about the next generation as far as it relates to sports. We know that the NBA recently had their All-Star weekend, and we saw the U.S. play the international teams, the rookies and sophomores. And the one guy that stood out was Andrew Wiggins, plays for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And if you haven't heard, Kevin Garnett used to play with the Celtics, but before that played with the Timberwolves, is coming back to the T-Wolves to play once again. He's like LeBron. He's going back home. And he's a good sight. If you know anything about Kevin Garnett, he's a workaholic. I respect him. He's all business. One thing I don't like about Kevin Garnett so much is he's got a potty mouth. Everybody knows he'll let words fly out and doesn't think about what he's saying. Doesn't care who hears. But one thing about it is, as far as basketball goes, he's well-credentialed. He can play with the best of them, and he's shown that over the years. He's won an NBA title. And I think as far as basketball-wise goes, he's going to be a great mentor for Andrew Wiggins. You know, Wiggins showed out. Again, he just showed out in the U.S. international game on All-Star weekend. He is the top rising star for the next generation coming up. And if you listen to my show, you know how much I amp up Kyrie Irving and Stephen Curry over the past year. I've always said Stephen was the best shooter and Kyrie was the best dribbler. If you didn't know Kyrie, I always like to say, tell people he learned how to dribble by dribbling two balls with a plastic bag on each one, like the plastic bag you get from a grocery store. And everybody has their technique. Some dribble tennis balls. But I've watched these two guys for years, going back to when they played college ball. And both of them are now in the limelight. So you keep your eyes on who's coming up, and eventually they'll come to the limelight. But I like to watch them before they get there. I like to spot them. And I tell you, one guy to keep your eye on right now would be Wiggins. He's very raw. He's got a lot of room to develop. He's got a lot of talent, though. He's very athletic. And once he, I think, is mentored, so to speak, from Garnett, the T-Wolves could be a team to watch out for down the line. They've got one of the worst records right now in the NBA. But down the line, I'd keep your eyes on the T-Wolves. If you listen to my last show, which was all the way back on New Year's Day, I predicted, and if I got one prediction right, I'd want it to be this one. I predicted the Super Bowl champs would be the New England Patriots. Basically, it said it's going to be like a coin toss, but I picked them to beat the Seahawks, and they did. They came through for me. I've got a lot of predictions right on this show. I've got a lot of them wrong, but again, if I was going to get one right, I'd want it to be that one. And if you're like me, I thought it was the best Super Bowl ever. Maybe one of the best football games, period, ever played. Got to watch it from start to finish. I was like everybody else in the world, wondering why Pete Carroll didn't give the ball to Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch, on the second down there. At the goal line, the game was clinched. It was in the bag. Just hand it to the Beast. Let him run it in. He's going to get you your yard. He had just got 3 or 4 yards. On the previous carry, he was running through tacklers left and right. And I think what happened was Carroll just, as a coach, sometimes coaches do this, he overthought himself. He thought too much. He just can't do that. You got to go with what's working. And I think sometimes the overthinking happens in sports, especially even with the best coaches. And I think that's what ended up catching Carroll on the heels there. Well, speaking of predictions, we see March Madness is rolling around. And I want this show to be about the March Madness. It's about the tournaments coming up. We're marching to March. We've still got a few weeks before Madness hits. But I want to prepare you. And college basketball is one of the hardest things there is to predict. If I was going to make a prediction as far as the NCAA champs, how could you not go against Kentucky this year, who's undefeated, who I believe will be the first team since the 76 Indiana Hoosiers to go undefeated. I don't see anybody getting in the way. They've got a lot of length. They've got too much talent. I mean, they were playing international teams this summer, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, getting ready for this year. They lost one of their key big men. They've still rolled on like nothing's happened. Calipari's got him playing good ball, and his mentality's always been players first. Actually, he changed that up, his philosophy, over the past few years, but he actually wrote a book about it, and I've talked about that on the show here. It'd be a great book for you to get to understand how players, the next gen, is operating in today's world. It's interesting if you've heard recently about the girls' team that was taught to lose, the high school team that was told to go out and lose the game that they were playing recently in basketball, so they would have to play the big team until later. Well, that happens in youth sports maybe, but it's, probably not something we want to get used to and hear every day, especially when it comes to our professional sports. I mean, there's a big difference between your pros and your high school or youth sports. So when it comes to predicting, though, it's just tough. It's just tough to get it right. And I think one thing I hope this show doesn't do is promote gambling in any way whatsoever. I hope there's nobody that comes listen to my show and say, oh, you picked this, let me go put some money on that. Or, let's put the line on, let's bet the line on this team to win. I'm getting them right, but that's not the point of the show. What we've got going on in America and in the NBA, the president, Adam Silver's come out, basically wants to legalize sports gambling. And sports isn't perfect. There's more illegal gambling going on in the United States than there is legal gambling currently. But I think if that ever goes through, we know how much gambling's going online through fantasy sports. But I think if that ever goes through, illegal gambling, as far as making it legal, it will absolutely ruin the purity of the game, especially the college game. You thought point shaving was bad now, or, corrupt coaches and refs and boosters and players. You thought you saw a lot of illegal, impermissible benefits going to players under the table now. Just wait. I don't think it's a good thing at all. So take my predictions with a grain of salt. They're not guaranteed to come true, but please don't bet on them. that will put you in a bigger hole than you want to be in. As far as basketball though goes, I want to talk a little bit about the mid-majors coming up in the tournament. Got more mid-majors in the top 25 than we've seen in years past. We got number 10, Northern Iowa. Number 11, Wichita State. They play at 2 o'clock this Saturday. Number 22, VCU. Number 23, Butler. And number 24, San Diego State. Don't forget about in the other vote section is Murray State and Valparaiso, two teams that traditionally made a lot of noise in the tournament. So my bets would be on Northern Iowa and Wichita State as far as the teams to come through possibly as mid-majors in the tournament to make it even as far as the Elite Eight. We know Butler made it to two championship games in a row a few years back, and Wichita State didn't go as far as I would have liked them to go last year, so maybe this year will be their year. It's going to be tough, though. I believe they lost their big man, Clay Anthony Early, just amazing talent. But they still got a great team. They still got Fred VanVleet, some consider the best point guard in the nation. So don't down either Northern Iowa or Wichita State. But as far as buying and selling the top 10 teams, we'll go through some of the majors. We talked about the mid-majors. I would buy Virginia, the Pac-Con defense. They're winning even without their best player, Justin and Anderson. I would buy on Duke. Okafor, healthy or not, Duke will make a good run in the tournament with them. Wisconsin, they're just too big. They're too talented. They're too experienced. Got a great coach. And Arizona. And Wisconsin's well-balanced as well. And Arizona, I like their coach. Always have a lot of talent. Maybe this year they'll get to the Elite Eight. Teams I would sell on, I'm not buying Gonzaga at all. I would sell Villanova. Usually Villanova is too small. I would sell Notre Dame. They're right there near the end of the top 10. And you never know, they might come through, but we'll sell them. And then we'll sell Kansas. You know, Kansas State recently beat Kansas in Manhattan, and the fans went crazy. They stormed the court. And something does need to be done about security. You got to protect refs. You got to protect players. You got to protect coaches. I've been able to serve on some security at different games throughout the years. And I was watching the yellow shirts. That's usually what they wear, like CSC event staffing. And the yellow shirts weren't where they needed to be. They needed to be around the court, spaced out. There needed to be an announcement asking fans to please not enter the court. I didn't hear any of that, didn't see the spacing that needed to take place, and somebody could have really got hurt, and thankfully nobody did. But I'm sure the Big 12 will step up and make sure it doesn't happen again. If you watch the NC State-UNC game, it was a basketball game in Chapel Hill last night. I don't know what's going on in Chapel Hill. The seams are coming apart, not only for the Tar Heels, but also for their coach, Roy Williams. And that's a baseball expression, seams coming apart. And traditionally, Carolina has a great baseball team, and they may want to go ahead and start looking toward baseball season. I'm just not sure what's going on in the blue and white land down in Chapel Hill. Roy Williams, he came out after the Duke game. It was just a phenomenal game, a game that Carolina should have won. Anybody who watched the game knows they should have won. They had the game in the bag. He did not call the timeout. He had three timeouts to work with. His team was scrambled, didn't know what to do. He let the timeout roll, and his players just fumbled the ball. I mean, it was hard to watch. That's where coaches got to step in, organize his team, get them on the same page, give them a play to run, and they didn't. And so he comes back in the next game. They played Georgia Tech and at home, and they won the game, but he really called out the fans afterwards, the Dean Dome, the Smith Center, and said that the fans need to show up and invest in the team. Well, it didn't go over well with the fans. It didn't go over well with me. And I think somebody's got to call Roy out now. The fans are plenty loud against NC State. They had nothing to cheer about. They were very well invested. But the coaching is a problem. The best coaches develop players. And Dean Smith, for sure, knew how to develop players. He could develop shooters. And that's Carolina's problem. We've gone through, I know, maybe two or three years here now, at least two, where Carolina just doesn't have any shooters. They can't shoot a three-point shot. If you watch the State game, they couldn't hit a layup. They couldn't hit it right next to the goal. They can't shoot free throws, probably. They can't shoot, period. They got one shooter, his name's Marcus Page, and that's their leading scorer. Other than that, I mean, the Jackson boy had a good game, but other than that, just don't see a lot of good shooting game to game. And it killed Carolina. Just absolutely killed them. The coach has got to be able to develop that, recognize the weakness, and develop his team. And so Roy may be under fire somewhat. I know he's got some good recruiting classes coming in. They always recruit well in Carolina. But if you call the fans out and then you perform like that, the fans won't put up with it for so long. I know Carolina's a top 25 team this year, but they lost the game. They were supposed to win against NC State, and they lost the game. They should have won at Duke. And anytime you lose against your rivals, it doesn't spell well for your future. not only that, it was sloppy. They turned the ball over. It's not looked like Carolina at all, much like Louisville this year. Louisville's not playing patina ball. They have the same woes as Carolina. They can't throw the ball in the ocean. They can't hit the backside of a barn. They can't shoot. And that's what we see going on, not only in Chapel Hill, but in Louisville. I think Roy just needs to stop at the door, do some soul searching, check his heart, pulse still is beating, and he really wants this, because you have to understand as a coach, you got to keep your players motivated, and you can't let an NC State, who North Carolina, I've lived in the area, North Carolina doesn't consider NC State a rival. State considers Carolina a rival, but UNC doesn't consider State a rival. You can't let an undersized NC State come into your home building and beat you by double digits. I mean, you can't let your arch rival or rival, arch rival they consider, to come in your house and you put up the lowest amount of points that you've scored since 1986, ever, the lowest amount in the Dean Dome. It just, it can't happen, and it did. And so the fans were loud. I could hear them through the TV. It wasn't the fans' fault. And I'm going to put this one on the coach. Maybe they can come back, regroup. Roy Williams has done that traditionally over the years, but this shooting epidemic continues to raise its head, and that's what makes me wonder how good a coach is he as far as developing the talent that he's been given. I mean, comment was recently made that over the years Duke has had less talent than UNC, but Coach Krzyzewski gets the most out of his talent, and they constantly beat UNC. Here recently, they owned the rival, and it's interesting when you look at the amount of talent and the All-Americans coming in, what Coach K is able to do compared to what Roy's done with his program. But keep an eye on it, see what happens. I think UNC still should make the tournament. I think NC State is in the tournament based off of that win. I think it put them in. You look at NC State, they won at Louisville. Again, same woes as Carolina. If you can't shoot, you're going to struggle winning. They won at UNC. They even beat Duke at home. So if I'm on the committee, I noticed Lenardi had NC State as a 9 seed today. I would definitely have NC State playing. Looking at, back in the NBA, I've been excited to watch the Hawks, the Atlanta Hawks, the number one seed in the East. They had four All-Stars. They had four players selected as the NBA Player of the Week. I know that's weird, but it is, because it's never happened before. But Korver and Teague, these guys, even the bench, like Mike Smith, these guys are just fun to watch. They play team ball. They're coached by a guy who learned and was mentored from Coach Popovich in San Antonio, who won the title last year with the Spurs. Just fun to watch, and I don't see him getting past the Cavs, especially with this latest new addition that the Cavs have put on with Kendra Perkins, just making them a bigger team. But I do believe the Hawks can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's going to be a challenge if they have to play Chicago in the second round, but I definitely see the Hawks getting past the first round this year. Great chance of getting past the second round. I think their dream run will end, however, in the finals this year. Either way, it's just cause for celebration. Atlanta hadn't seen a good team in a long time. Speaking of college football, however, it's never too late to begin looking that direction. And I know that Georgia football team should go 4-0, begin the season with next year. Great running back, Nick Chubb. They've also going to have to play at Vanderbilt and then versus South Carolina at home. So there's no way they should not go 4-0 to start the season. The fifth game will be against Alabama at home. And just looking at Mark Richt, he has traditionally not won the big game. And he could be under some heat if he loses some of the major rival games as well. next year. For instance, if he loses after the Bama game at Tennessee, if he loses the Florida game, if he loses at Auburn, if he loses again to the arch rival Georgia Tech, that put Georgia at a 7-5 season. And his buyout contracts have been getting lower and lower. So Georgia could buy him out. I like Rick. I hope he does well this year. But it's possibly some of the same symptoms or signs that we see with Roy in Chapel Hill. And speaking of, Georgia has made a contract. They will play the UNC football program in 2016 in Atlanta. So, been a good show today. We've got a lot of information that I was able to give to you because we haven't had a show in a while. I do want to end on this. There was talk this past week about college basketball, and specifically the Big Ten Conference, talking about making freshmen ineligible. In other words, they couldn't play their first year of basketball. And this is kind of happening in college football already, as we see a lot of red shirts, a lot of freshmen red shirt, not be able to play. You could possibly pull this rule off in football, but not basketball. Basketball, remember, they only have 12 team members, most of the times. And it's just today's world, you need your stars on the court. And most of your stars today are coming in as freshmen. What they really need to do to clean up the basketball in college basketball is get rid of the one-and-done rule, make it, so to speak, two-and-two. In other words, you have to go to college for 2 years, and then you can jump to the NBA. But you cannot jump until you've played those 2 years. I would not make freshmen ineligible. I think you need to be eligible. Just let them play an extra year. Because what we've got now is a watered-down version of the college game. It's a sight for sore eyes. It's hard to watch. And the games are low-scoring sometimes. And it's just not as much talent. It's not, for instance, going back to UNC and NC State. There was no fire and ice. Chris Corcione, Rodney Monroe on the court. There was no Stackhouse. There was no Wallace. There was no Jordan. There's no major talent that you see stick around for 3 or 4 years anymore and develop. And that's what is making the game suffer at the collegiate level. And actually, it makes the professional game suffer as well because the players are coming in underdeveloped. And so if we could at least step up the one-and-done rule to 2-2, I think we'll see a better, cleaner version in the collegiate and professional levels of basketball. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. I appreciate you listening. Should be snowing if you're down south. Stay dry. Listen to the show. Have a good one.